shared, so the portions are designed for a communal dining experience. Sample remastered Mediterranean dishes prepared by master chefs, then share this experience with friends, family, and loved ones. You have found Spiro's in St. Charles, and dining out will never be the same until you come back. Spiro's at 2275 Bluestone Drive in St. Charles, off First Capital.
At Elysium Restoration and Design, they specialize in interior home renovations, including bathroom and kitchen remodeling, basements, additions, garages, and more. They offer start-to-finish solutions for every project while providing full design services with custom work to fit your needs. Elysium's lead carpenters have at least 10 years' experience, so you know the work is done the right way. And being a family-run business, they take the time to communicate every step of the way. Check out Elysium Restoration and Design at erdstl.com.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worries on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street. Can't you hear a pitter-pat? And that happy tune is your step. Life can be so sweet on the sunny side of the street. I used to walk in the shade with those blues on parade. But I'm not afraid. This rover.
I have an IQ of 48 and am what some people call mentally retarded.
Crossed over if I never have a cent. I'll be rich as Rockefeller.
From Anchorman.
Gold dust at my feet.
Oh.
On the sunny side of the street.
Love that movie.
Da da da. I don't want to be here. I'd rather be asleep taking a nap on a rainy day.
I asked this of these guys before we went on. You ever have days where you cannot hold your eyes open? It's like somebody drugged you,
yeah.
Slipped you a drug.
All the time.
And it's sort of like when you're driving and you just catch yourself, your head drops forward and you, huh? And you fight it and you roll the window down, you stick your face out in the rain, and in 30 seconds, you're just...
Smack your face.
You cannot fight it.
It happens every time I talk to John Hedley. I just start to fall asleep.
Well, that happens.
You fall asleep or he falls asleep.
That happens to everybody when they talk to John Hedley.
Hey, Dan, turn your mic up for me.
Say, dude. Hello? Can you hear me?
Yeah, Dan, turn your mic up for him.
Check, check, check. Civil.
Thanks, buddy.
Civil.
Sorry.
Afternoon,
check, check.
Everybody. Welcome to the August 20th. This is not right.
The 29th?
Is it the 29th?
Yeah.
It is, yeah.
Wow. August 29th edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon.
I don't make mistakes.
No, you don't. I don't know what I was thinking. I thought maybe somebody else. I've said this before. There's one sheet of paper in front of me. At the top, it has the date. And then under it, it just has the commercials I need to do before we get out of here at 6 o'clock. That's it. That's all it says. And I thought maybe Dan had made a mistake on the date. Boy, I hate these headphones. I gotta get some different headphones.
What's wrong with them?
They're loud, and if you turn them down, then you lose an ear. So you have to get them up to a loud volume for both ears to work.
Yeah.
I know. It's nothing to complain about. There are people right now in the hospital with broken legs and arms, and you know. What,
maybe you have wax buildup in one ear.
Well, I guarantee I do. I guarantee I do. I manufacture some pretty good wax in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know that. So I think I skipped this yesterday, and I apologize for that. The Burke segment. Does anybody have anything to say?
I do.
All right.
Yeah.
Direct from Great Britain back to his homeland, Trevor Limestone Phillips. Soyuz.
Thank you, Frank.
You're welcome.
This is real quick. It's obviously something that I saw online. And
hey, you said saw and not sore.
I actually think he did say throw an R in there.
Yeah.
Replay.
It was a soft R.
Go back to the tape.
He's coming around.
Really?
Because normally it would be I'd like to talk about something I saw yesterday. He softened it up.
Okay.
He's working his way toward the word saw.
Yeah.
I'm making my way.
Making your way.
Well, no, I saw this online yesterday, and it was just the dumbest thing I think I've ever seen. It's this video that's going viral right now of this guy who is apparently amazed that he can grow sunflowers and get sunflower seeds. And that's the big thing. And everybody is just really psyched up, amazed, and happy. And I was reading some of the comments on this video, and they're like, wow, I had no idea sunflower seeds came from sunflowers. And that's the thing.
If you tell me this guy's making $8 million a year for putting this on YouTube, then I give up.
Well, no, I don't know if it's on YouTube. I don't know if he's doing a cooking thing, but he just made this video, and it's going viral, and it's just about him being like, look, I grew sunflowers, and now I've got sunflower seeds.
How many times did you watch it?
I didn't even make it through the first 30 seconds.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I'm being deadly serious because, you know, obviously I'm not a dumbass, so I know that.
Do they come out salted already?
Maybe. I don't know. But no, I just saw that and it just.
What does that mean, viral? I mean, is there a number for that? Like. 100,000 people, is that viral?
It's just trending. It's a hot trending.
But it has to have been seen by. If eight people see something,
right.
It's not.
Well, I know you don't understand.
I just wonder
YouTube.
What the number is. No, I understand. You watch YouTube on YouTube all the time.
But I mean, in terms of when. Oh, excuse me. My bad. I just made the first mistake of the show. I know you don't understand Twitter all that well because you
correct.
Said that.
Now, correct.
But if you get on Twitter, it'll show the top trending things that people are talking about. And so when something usually hits in that top 10, they say it's gone viral or a top 20.
But to make it to that top 10, I'm sure they look for a number. Ooh, look, 100,000 people have seen that.
No, it's exactly ranked by number. But sometimes there's more people online than other parts of the day, so the numbers will change. But it'll rank them by how many people have commented on it.
What I'll do is I'll go to YouTube and go to the homepage. There's a homepage and there's a trending page. So I'll go to the trending page just to see what everybody looking at. And most of it, I don't understand. It's some millennial stuff, and I don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
Those Don millennials.
And I'm sorry to take from your Burt segment, but I have to jump in here, or I'll forget it. Last night, I'm looking at YouTube, and I go, they're trending. And I don't know how to put this without it sounding like I'm making fun, because I'm not making fun. There was a disabled guy. Now, I'm trying to describe his disability.
Okay.
He's one of these guys who drags himself along the floor with his arms. He has legs, mm-hmm. but they don't. He's paralyzed.
My dog does that sometimes.
So he's a paraplegic.
Oh, no, that's the butt scooting boogie.
Is that paraplegic?
Well, that would be quadriplegic. Could be all fours. He's paraplegic.
Okay,
but he's also deformed.
Okay,
he has little skinny arms, and his head's kind of locked sideways. And I watched this, and it was one of the trending things, and I thought. Why? Because what he was doing, I felt bad for the guy because it was obvious that he had set up a camera and he, I'm going to open a bag of chips. And so he opens a bag of chips and then he crawls across the floor and opens a jar of pickles. And then he eats one, eats a chip, or whatever.
He's probably making a video just showing like, hey, this is how I do certain things, you know?
I didn't get that impression. I don't know what impression I got, but I just thought, why are you doing this? And lots of people are watching. Now, they're either watching it to go, yeah, way to go, bud.
Mm-hmm.
Even though you're, you're paraplegic, you can still open a bag of chips. Way to go.
Right.
But I didn't even get that sense. I just, all I thought was, what am I watching here? Why is he doing
you
this?
You guys are both killing me. Lima's watching videos of somebody growing sunflowers, and you're watching videos of paraplegics opening bags of chips.
It's Facebook, you can't find
anything more exciting to watch than that.
And then he took a bite of a chip, and then he smashed the bag of chips, just smashed them and went, ah, ha, ha, ha. And that was the video. And then I looked, and there's a whole bunch of other videos of the same disabled guy just, turning on the water faucet, or I don't know.
See, now I have
He's probably making $8 million a year.
A Plan B Burke segment probably. Here. I'm gonna toe tap into Limey's Burke segment since you toe tapped in because my Burke segment also involved the video.
Okay.
I'm gonna teach you guys what exciting video
it's
is.
It's called okay. Burke segment sidebar.
Burke segment sidebar. There is a story that is going viral, in Limey's words, about it's a local story, and it's about the dance team coach at Granite City High School.
Who's standing
on top of a, I believe either a wall or a police cruiser, and then there is a Granite City SUV police car in which two Granite City High School cheerleaders are palms up against the car, butts sticking out, skirts raised up, and they posed for this photo.
Inappropriate.
And the Granite City hierarchy of Granite City High School forced the resignation of this dance team coach because she posed and allowed these girls to stage and pose for this photo.
Okay.
Now, the reason why this is relevant is because there are different TV news websites and, of course, a newspaper website, and they all have different editorial etiquette with regard to how much they'll show and how much they want.
Right, and censorship policy.
For example, Fox 2 Now, the website for Channel 2, decided to put a gray box in front of the entire buttocks area of both of these girls as they're leaning against the car.
Now, what do they have on? They're just
cheerleading outfits.
But they have the little
short skirt cheerleading outfits that barely go down past the cheek.
They have underwear on, though.
They have their shorts on underneath.
Okay.
But KSDK, the Channel 5 news website, has decided not to black and blur that out. And so they have decided, through their editorial group meeting, I'm sure that they had, to go ahead and show the picture uncensored. That's exciting video to watch, right? Not throwing sunflowers, not paraplegic smashing chips, but seeing which news sites will show the inappropriate high school girls lifting skirts up and which ones won't. And Channel 5 decided to show it, and Channel 2 said no.
All right, so what we've gathered from that is that instead of watching, like, you know, instructional or dumb videos, Tim would rather see underage girls in cheerleading outfits.
I was researching that
He's
story.
He's head of research, for goodness sake.
I almost put that story in the newscast. I almost put it in.
And what is underage? Under 18? Is that underage?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, yeah.
So they're not 18.
17.
Well, some of them are, though.
17 is the age of consent.
Oh, it is. You're right. But
so how old are these girls?
I don't know. I didn't ask them.
But I would imagine some of them are 17 and 18 because they have to be seniors. If you're a senior, you're 17 or 18.
Does everybody now in 2018 have to either step down or be fired when they make one mistake?
Yeah.
Is that where we are?
Oh, yeah.
No, that's exactly where we are. You make one misstep, well, we're going to have to ask you to resign.
Or you say something wrong. Look at Roseanne.
You misspeak. Yeah.
But see, this photo, it got me to thinking what we could do to spice up this show in just a kind of unique or fun way. I think a fun idea would be for Dan to get involved, and I could help with this as well, is to find some kind of photo and put it on the Large Morning Show in the Afternoon Facebook page.
That's controversial.
And have a caption contest where people just type in what the best caption of the day is, and then at the end I could get a sponsor to give away a restaurant gift certificate. We give something away, and people have to go to the Facebook page and write what they think is the best caption for this photo. And this would be a hilarious photo to start a campaign like that off with. Like if I were to write a caption for that photo, it would be something like, "See, this is how we get out of tickets in Granite City."
Okay.
Something along those lines.
Okay.
This is how Granite City girls get out of speeding tickets or something like that, you know.
No, okay.
Something fun.
How do they submit these?
Go right to the Facebook page. Just log in and just type a comment. Type a comment about the photo.
You have to come up with a picture.
Mm-hmm. Well, it has to be a new one. Oh, I'm telling you right now, I could find you a new one every day with no problem.
Yeah. From your PI work?
No, just from the internet.
Yeah.
Just from anywhere. It's crazy photos. All over the internet.
Not a bad idea. As much as it kills me to say that, not a bad idea. All right, we'll give that some thought.
Okay.
Boy, how nice does it feel? I know it's raining. I don't care. How nice does it feel to step outside today?
Oh.
After this last stuff we had?
It is gorgeous.
It's nice. Oh, I'm sorry. It was your Burke segment, Limey. You were talking about viral video of the sunflower seeds.
My Burke segment contribution today is, people listening, if you don't know a sunflower seed comes from a sunflower, you're an idiot.
So. Or that a sunflower produces sunflower
seeds. Yeah, okay.
Seeds.
But
here's why that's not necessarily true, that they're idiots. Not all flowers produce seeds, do they? Does a rose produce a seed?
No, I believe rose has buds. They have those little... Oh, no, what is it?
They have pollen.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, but they don't have seeds. So
bulbs,
for somebody,
that's what it's called. They're called bulbs. Those flowers come from bulbs in the ground, and you can recycle the bulbs all the time. Like they're year round, they're good.
Okay, I would bet that most flowers don't put out seeds. So I can see where somebody go, wow, a flower that makes its own seeds that can create more flowers.
Do any of you guys feed the birds at your house?
No.
So I do. I have three bird feeders around the concrete of my in-ground pool behind my house, right?
And I'm ashamed to say that I wouldn't even know how to make a bird feeder or what kind. There's marlin houses, mm-hmm. and there's like another sparrow house. There's different kinds. And I'm sorry, Tim, but I have to ask this question because you have bird feeders.
Yeah.
How could one house be for one kind of bird? Isn't there a marlin feeder? Is there such a thing?
Purple marlin. It's a purple marlin house and feeder, but they're really, really high.
Okay, but here's my point.
Okay.
Birds are always high. They're in the sky.
I know.
They're flying. And you tell me that birds fly down, they look down, they go, oh, I'd like to stop there and spend the night and take a rest, but that's a purple marlin house. Yeah. I'm not a purple marlin.
And purple marlins, I know this, they eat mosquitoes like crazy.
Okay.
A lot of people will put purple marlin houses in their backyards, but they have to be really, really high.
All right, Tim has how many houses, bird houses?
Well, I have a hummingbird feeder. I
know what that is.
I hung a couple houses, you know, on the tree line behind my fence in the creek. But I'm talking about the actual feeders. Right. Bird houses have different size holes so that only certain birds can get in.
But don't some bird houses also have a feeder, like it's like a front doormat where mm-hmm. they can eat and then go yeah. in and rest?
Mm-hmm. They do. Well, in fact, cardinals, I have a family of cardinals in my backyard, and you just talked about how all birds live high. It's actually not true. Cardinals live in, like, waist-high bushes. They create nests in, like, bushes that are, like, 3 and 4 feet off the ground.
So you've got Adam Wainwright and all these
people. You realize what he did there?
What did he do?
He just plugged two St. Louis greats, cardinals and bushes.
Yeah.
The bushes mm-hmm. and the cardinals.
Yeah.
Cardinals. So he's got Adam Wainwright and Jed Jerko and all those people out in the streets.
That.
I know.
I sort of.
The reason I brought this up before, for the first time ever, I was interrupted on the show, is the fact that the bird feeders hang out right over where the grass line hits the concrete. And so, you know, birds are kind of sloppy when they eat and then peck, 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 and the seeds go flying everywhere.
Right.
I'm blown away at how quickly and how large, like, trees grow out of the ground where these seeds hit the ground. And then a day like today where it rains and they get mm-hmm. You know, some water in them and the whole bit. And I've had massive poisonous berry vines grow out of the ground. Like one day I look out there's nothing. The next day it's like a foot and a half tall.
Really?
It's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Or not the next day, but maybe a couple days later. It's unbelievable. And it's different every
not
time.
The next day, but a couple of days. In 2 days, he's got a foot and a half.
I'm telling you, like how quickly these vines grow.
It's
amazing how they sprout. The birds
like eat them, and it, ones if they don't eat, like they fertilize them in their intestines and whatnot. And yeah,
Dan, don't worry about all the lines are lit.
Okay,
they're all lit, but don't worry about it.
It was a slight embellishment. Right. You called me out now, and I'll mea culpa. I won't say a foot and a half in 3 days, but I'll bet it's at least 10-12 inches in 3 days.
Let me show everybody what we're 10-12 inches
yeah,
here.
Everybody.
We're talking. That's a pretty good size.
Yeah,
plant.
That's about the size of the vine right there. Yeah, it's good.
I'm sorry. You still have the floor.
Oh, okay. Okay. That's about it. That's all I got. Yeah.
Anybody else for the Burke segment? Dan, finally.
Oh, hang on a second. We're getting text in. What did you call the bird? The purple something?
I didn't call it purple marlin. That's
okay.
What Dan
so it's a
it.
Purple martin, and somebody's
Martin.
Yeah, in big capital
didn't
letters.
Did he say marlin?
It's purple martin.
And I was too stupid
idiots.
To know.
Marlin is a fish.
Yeah. And I was too stupid to correct him. Purple Martin. Hang on. Dan.
Yeah, you're right. It is. Somebody else just called and said it's Purple Martins.
Yeah.
Okay. So Dan, you were wrong.
What?
You were wrong.
Right? Idiot.
You were wrong. You said Purple Marlin.
You said it originally.
No. No. I was repeating what you said. I was led into down the stupidity hall by somebody else.
Well, you said Marlins, and I said, oh, Purple Marlins.
Yeah, Marlin's a big fish.
You know what? I probably did that.
Yeah. No, well, you know what?
No, I was right, because I have a great big fish house in my backyard to attract fish.
They're flying fish. Aren't there flying fish?
I haven't gotten one. Never got one.
Fish, but that's not a Marlin.
Yeah, there are flying fish.
All right, now back to the birdhouse thing. There are a lot of old guys. Their hobby is making birdhouses. I mean, my whole life, ever since I was a kid, oh, why don't you go see Mr. Jenkins? He's over in his garage making birdhouses. It's just one of those things old people do.
Yeah.
And they know what kind of house. Like, one bird likes more of like a townhome type thing, and another is like an apartment condominium. So they know what kind of houses attracts different birds. And that amazes me, that birds would look down and go,
How do they pay rent?
That's our kind of place. Let's go land there. As opposed to, we're not landing there. We are not Purple Martins. No, we are not going to go. And, you know,
I really don't think birds judge where they're going to stay on, like, the look of the outside of a birdhouse. I think it has to do with the hole.
What's the point of a birdhouse? It has a hole in it, and they go in there for what?
Otherwise, all the birds have moved to Wildwood, and you wouldn't see any birds in the ghetto.
But why do they go in the house in the hole?
Because for shelter and protection.
Shelter?
Yeah. So, I mean, like,
there
it saves
are 80 jillion birds, and how many birdhouses? So what's the shelter for the rest of them?
I mean, like, you've just got trees and making a nest. Like, you know, one lucky bird will come. I can't believe I'm explaining the psychiatry of a bird behind this.
Why did any human ever think, man, I don't think the birds have enough place to get out of the rain. Let's build some birdhouses. You couldn't build enough birdhouses.
Well, the other birds, the birds that have houses, they go flying around, and then there's other birds that sit on a branch, and they got a little sign say, "We'll work for food."
Well, and you know what it is? It's that there are people who like to watch birds. They build the birdhouses so the birds will come in so they can watch them. Yes, bird watchers.
The birdhouse that I have in my backyard, and this will go to a whole different line of conversation, was not built by an old man. And this is proof of how smarter kids are today than when we were in school. It was built by my then 6-year-old niece in her classroom. They built and constructed a birdhouse. And then at Christmas time, now when I was 6 years old, I was in first grade, I was worried about my cursive Q's not looking like, or even my regular Q's not looking like my R's and my P's going the right way and my S's, you know, being straight on the line. That was important to me when I was six, knowing my colors, you know, stuff like that. 6 year old now, my niece Leah, who built this birdhouse with her own hand and painted it, I might add, with her own hands.
With like saws and sanders.
I think she used a hammer and nails. I think the pieces of wood were prefabricated, but she nailed it.
She put it,
glued and hammered it together. Not only that, but at Christmas time, when she was 6 years old, and she's like 10 or 12 now, 6 years old at Christmas time, this girl gives a PowerPoint presentation with sliding finger across a widescreen TV on the World Bird Sanctuary.
Right, well, she's a genius.
At age six.
Yeah, she's a genius.
No, but all the kids in her class.
She's a bird genius. No, she is. She's a bird expert
but
genius.
All the kids in her class. My point is, 6 year olds now are being taught. This was in St. Louis County school, public school. 6 year olds are being taught to give PowerPoint presentations on businesses and things of the world that I had. And you know, this was so unbelievable that she did this. She had a Q&A session after she gave her presentation. Okay, are there any questions?
Because at six, for 4 years, she's been working tablets and computers screens.
Right.
Mm-hmm. By then. Mm-hmm. All right, now this is going to...
But that'll blow you away as your grandson who's four now. He's five. I'll bet you'll be telling stories about how smart he is compared to when you were five about a year from now. Things that he does that blow you away that kids can do. When he starts school.
It's bragging. I don't like to do it. He rebuilt the engine in the Volkswagen.
Oh, wow. That's
incredible. Now, so I know the bird segment's not over, but I just want to stop here for a second. And let's talk about something.
And this Dave's is gonna on make, the phone, too.
Yeah, well, let's talk to Dave. Let's talk to Dave first, and then we're going to have to address something here. Dave, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
Hey, guys, I've been listening a long time, man, AM and the PM.
Thank you. What's up?
Well, quite possibly the funniest 5 minutes. We had flying purple fish, and before that, Limey was talking about roses and sounded so confidently saying they grow from bulbs in
no,
the
I
ground.
Said some flowers bulbs. Come from bulbs. I don't know about... I
think
some
he's
flowers.
Right. You kind of implied roses
yeah, that roses
from bulbs.
Did.
If I did
imply that, I
hey,
apologize. Yeah.
Hey, the listener is always right.
You apologize for that.
You apologize to Dave right now.
I am sorry, Dave.
All right.
I am an idiot.
More like it.
Hey, I got a good laugh out of it. But just to let you guys know, after roses flower, they leave behind what are called hips. It's like a star-shaped little thing, but they don't leave seeds.
And the hips grow new roses?
No, roses are grown from stem cuttings on grafted roots.
There you go. Not bulbs, limestone. Stem cuttings.
There we go.
Dave,
funny stuff.
Are you, Dave, are you in the are you in the flower business?
Daffodils, they come from bulbs. Horticulture. Bluebells,
no kidding. He's this guy's a horticulturist. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's smart. He's in the horticulture. Yeah. All right, Dave. Thank you.
Appreciate it, guys.
We appreciate it too. See you later.
Thank God for callers, or nobody would learn anything on this show.
Well, we'd just be telling people a bunch of stupid stuff. Right. We tell them stuff that doesn't make sense. Okay, so this will make some people mad. Not many, because I don't think there are many listening who do this. What is the official name of bird watchers? They have a name, like ornithologist or something like that.
Ornithologists?
Ornithologist. Yeah, that sounds right. What in this world is exciting, and how could anybody be a bird watcher? And I mean, they have different pairs of binoculars, and they plan trips together. And
my stepfather and mom have actually gone on bird watching expeditions with my nephew. But you know why? It's to watch eagles. To watch eagles. And I think I never went on any of them, probably because I wasn't invited. They don't like me. But to watch like eagles feed in the wild, like this, to see, or a hawk, you know, to sit there and watch a hawk soar and then soar down and snap up that snake or snap up that rat, I could do that for one day.
Oh, there are people that go out to like to Alton and all that.
I could do that for about 3 minutes. Mm-hmm. Once I saw, that's the water cup, and then they pick the fish up and fly away. Let's go home. Because that's all you're going to see again is a hawk or eagle.
Bird watchers.
How do you get a day out of that?
Well, bird watchers, I can understand. You know, I mean, there are certain rare species of birds, you know, people want to see.
Did you know that you just gave me and don't even know it, $1 million idea?
Oh, well, thank you very much.
And somebody's going to steal it as soon as I say it. Because of the way you talk, bird watching. Anheuser-Busch, call me after the show. And we'll have people who are bud watchers. And they go out and seek out people drinking bud, and they are called bud watchers. And they got binoculars, and they're looking for bottles and cans of bud. That is $1 million idea.
This is the dumbest hobby, I think. And it's kind of along the lines of bird watching, but train watchers or train spotters. People who just stand at train stations or over bridges just to see a certain train with a certain serial number. There's loads of them.
Go ahead.
If that guy that you talked about who was a sunflower seed grower, if he had been growing and watching a marijuana plant grow, he would be a, he would be a bud watcher.
Yeah.
He would be a bud watcher.
That's right.
He would be a bud watcher. That's very good.
By the way, there's a difference between bird watchers and ornithologists.
Well, what is it?
A bird watchers are pursue the activity for recreational purposes. Ornithologists actually use scientific methods to watch birds.
So they're like scientists, professional people.
Right.
So, but here's my point. You're in a club and you're all bird watchers, and I got to be careful. We can't afford to lose any listeners. We cannot afford it. So I'm just saying this is my take on it. How many things can you watch a bird do? Here's what birds do. They fly, and then they land somewhere, and their little head twitches left and right. They look around.
They hop.
Some of them hop, and they'll peck, peck, peck a worm or seeds or something, and then they'll fly away. That's it.
And poop.
There is.
That's right. I left out poop, and they'll poop, and that is it.
Let's take it one more level ridiculous, shall we? There is something called the American Birding Association, and they have bird watching contests.
How do you do that?
There's three different types of contests in the American Birding Association contest. There's the Big Day contest, where teams have 24 hours to identify and photograph as many different species as possible. Then there's the Big Year contest, where contestants are individuals, and they have to like travel around the world and take as many date and timestamp photos of birds as they can, then report back on December
31st. Yeah, and who pays you to do that? Nobody.
Well, it's a contest. You got to pay your own money to do it.
Yes, that's expensive.
And then hope that
I wonder what you win.
A bird statue.
A cuckoo clock.
A bucket of fried chicken.
but is it really chicken? It's given to you by the bird people. Boy, these are the smallest little breasts I've ever seen in the Kentucky Fried Chicken box. There's certain things I don't get. Stamp collecting. I mean, they're just boring to me. And generally, here's where I'm going to get in trouble. certain people who do certain things are usually boring people too. Like bird watchers, I picture somebody in, they went online and got just the safari shorts and the pith helmet, the binoculars, and the little book to write down every kind of bird they see, and they got a camera and some binoculars, and off they go. I don't get it.
It's pretty boring, I gotta admit.
But we're talking thousands of people who do it. All over the world they do it. And if somebody said to me, if I said, oh, you're a bird watcher, that doesn't sound exciting. And they said, well, it may not sound exciting to you, but 2 years ago, I was only the fourth person to ever see the yellow-beaked, thunder-breasted, sap-sucking lytichorn.
Oh,
and I,
those are rare.
Yeah, and my reaction would be, so what? I know, yeah. It's okay. Okay. Only three people have seen one.
The Guinness Book of World Records has a record in the book for people who have seen the most species of bird in 1 year.
And they have to prove it. Right.
With photos. It says that there are 10,000 species of bird and only a small number of people have seen more than 7,000. Many bird watchers spend their entire lives trying to see every bird species in the world.
All right. How many birds in the United States, in the air, in branches, how many birds do you think there are? I mean, really.
Like, not just species, but actual birds.
No, just total
birds.
It has to be in the trillions. Wouldn't you think?
In America?
In the whole country.
The whole country?
Think of it. Have you ever seen those flocks of birds fly over? There's so many of them, it looks like a black cloud.
It's called a murmuration.
What?
It's called a murmuration.
Mr. Big Words. How do you know that? Is that part of the extermination?
No, I think a murmuration, correct myself in case Dave is listening. I think a murmuration is a specific type of bird, but they flock in these giant, flocks.
So thick that it looks like a cloud.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what? I've got a rare condition. When I see that, my heart starts beating real. Heart murmuration.
Oh, my goodness.
Thank you.
Wow.
Thanks, everybody.
Just when I think this conversation can't get worse, I find a new way to make it worse. There is a website called it's called birdpop.org.
Bird Pop.
It's the Institute for Bird Populations official site.
Oh, cool.
Now you're talking.
Birdpop.org.
I realize we need birds.
Yeah, of course we need birds.
But we posed this question a couple times over the years, and we've never really had an answer to it. But let's say we know that right now in the United States, in the air, on the ground, in branches, in a birdhouse, a hollow log, there are hundreds of millions of birds. Would you agree with that?
I've done about hundreds of... Yeah, all right, sure, why not?
Okay. Of course there are. Maybe
I was
going to
go
with
tens of millions.
This reminds me of the argument, the friendly spirited conversation. It's not quite the argument level I have with my stepfather, who's a science junkie, and we have an argument over what is there more of, grains of sand on this planet, every beach, every desert, every grains of sand on this planet, or stars in the universe.
Oh, stars! Well,
I would think grains of
stars
sand.
In the universe.
I went sand, and I went sand, and I've been beaten down hard by the research he showed me to prove it otherwise.
Yeah,
they can actually estimate how many grains of sand are in this planet, and then they estimate how fast the world is expanding and when the Big Bang occurred and how many stars are born.
That's creepy. That's beyond anybody's ability to comprehend.
I know. It fries my brain.
But here's my question. All living things die, and birds die. How long does a bird live, the average bird, that we just see out the window? Anybody know?
I think maybe a year or two.
But we don't know. Uh-huh. Hey, Dr. Doug's on today. Maybe he'll know. Sure. But let's just say whether it's a year or 5 years or 10 years, the bird, it's time to die. Now, where do all of the birds die? And have you ever seen a bird flying across there? Or even if it's a whole flock of them, you know that in that flock, one of them has cancer.
Or he has a heart attack.
Or has a heart attack.
Yeah.
And then just out of the sky fall. You never see. Have you ever been walking along and a bird just fell down at your feet and you go, oh, shoot, he must have been flying over, and he was the equivalent of like an 89-year-old bird, and he just died and fell out.
Well, I mean,
never.
I don't think if they ever get to the point where, like, you know, they're at that age, they either get eaten by a bigger bird of prey, or when they fall down and die, they get eaten by something on the floor.
But they must be getting eaten immediately, because walk around right now. Go outside here. Mm-hmm. How many dead birds are on the ground?
Well, how many? All right. Okay.
And they have to die somewhere.
Snakes eat them.
Huh?
Snakes eat them.
I mean,
We don't have that many snakes.
We don't really have a lot of birds around here either, though, do we?
Of course, you know, we do.
Well, I'm just saying, like, look out the window. How many birds do you see?
Any varmint would eat a dead bird.
Yeah.
So they got to eat them pretty quickly.
Cats do.
Yeah.
As soon as they hit the ground, something's on them.
Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Pretty much.
Okay.
Phones are full.
Calls?
Yeah, they are. We should take some calls from people smarter than we are. That won't be hard. Let's go with, I guess, Doug has been holding the line. Doug, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
Hey, gentlemen. AM and the PM.
Thank you, Doug.
So, a couple of things. And I saw this movie a while ago, but they did a movie called
The Birds?
The Big Ear.
The what?
The Big Year.
It was called The Big Year. And so I want to say Owen Wilson was in it. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of like a romantic comedy, I believe. But it was, I don't know, it was mildly entertaining, let's say. And the other thing, you guys were talking about cats and killing birds.
Hold on a second. What's The Big Year?
It was a movie about seeing as many different species of birds as possible in 1 year.
All right.
What a great... That sounds like a really good movie.
As opposed to the movie The Big Ear, which was a documentary about Vincent Van Gogh.
Yes. Yeah.
Steve Martin, Jack Wonderful. Black, and Owen Wilson were in it.
Wow. Huh. Steve Martin?
Yeah. Never heard of it.
I have seen that.
Actually, never heard of it.
Now that I remember.
Yeah, mildly entertaining. Yeah, not great. I don't know. One of those indie movies, I suppose. But I also saw a fact that feral cats kill hundreds of millions of birds a year.
Oh, yeah.
Hmm.
I can see that.
And that Chad will show you how fast those cats are.
Mm-hmm.
You ever try to catch a bird? You can't do it. Walk up to and catch a bird? You can't do it. Cats can
not
do
easy.
It.
And my neighbor has two outdoor cats. You know what these sick things do? They catch birds. And then they drop their carcasses in, like, the flower beds, and the head's gone. The rest of the body's there, but the head's gone.
They're just head eaters.
They're head eaters. Mm. It's just, why would, wow. The meat's on the other part of the bird. You'd think they'd figure that out. That's but the heads
sick,
are gone.
That's some sick cats.
That is a sick cat.
Doug, anything else?
That's it. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, Doug. Those birds are decapitated.
Oh my goodness!
It didn't work. It didn't work.
Terrible.
It didn't work.
I'd consider editing that out.
No kidding.
No, I agree with Tim. Take that out. I don't want people to hear that.
Radio edit.
Let me talk to Steve if he still even wants to be a part of this. Steve, welcome to 590 The Fan. What's going on?
I don't know. I'm AM into PM.
Thank you.
Hey, I got something I wanted to ask Limey to see if he knows or not.
Limey's for you.
Then I wanted to tell you something about at the lake a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
Limey, you know when ducks fly in a V in the air, and do you know why one side of the V is longer than the other when they're flying?
I absolutely have no idea. I think I've heard this, but I've completely forgotten.
There's more ducks on that side.
You know what? That's an old joke that I forgot, and we sat here like idiots, and none of us could think of the answer.
I know. I thought there was going to be some like scientific reason.
All right, Steve, Mr. Know-It-All. I got one. You want to know? Do you know the flying a V? Do you know what the V stands for?
No, I don't.
Vagina. I don't even know why that's funny. You know what? I don't know why that's funny. I just think it's funny to say
that word.
Yeah, the word is just funny, kind of funny to say sometimes. Steve, that was good. I have not heard that joke for years. Thank you.
No, you remember that's called the front hole now from the morning show.
Oh, the front hole?
We have a morning.
The front hole.
We have a morning show?
Front hole?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, they nicknamed that the front hole now. But, hey, we were at the... We go to Mark Twain Lake, my family goes to Mark Twain Lake, and we all go out to the cove and anchor up, and we were out there, and we had known that there had been a bald eagle nest, and we're out there probably, I don't know, 13 boats wide, and we're all out on the rafts and stuff behind the boat, and we saw this bald eagle come, or flew over top of us the first pass, went down to grab a fish, missed, I guess, and came back up, went to the nest. Next time it came around, I mean, it had to fly 10 feet over our heads, right over us. The thing had to have a 6-foot wingspan on it.
They're
and
huge.
The power of it as it come flying to hit the water like that, it was amazing to me. I'm like you, Frank. I don't think I'd be somebody that would go and do that all day long. I work with a guy that does that, and he loves it. Just got back from Colorado doing it.
So, no, but I know exactly what you're saying. Look, I live out in the woods, and I've seen hawks with 4 to 5 foot wingspans at my house. And a couple of them have, just what you said, swooped down within just a few feet of my head. And I thought it was a big remote control airplane. I'm not kidding. They're that big. It's scary.
Serious power there, but enjoy the show, guys.
All right, thank you, Steve. Thanks for calling.
Cam Jansen could get out there and talk to some of those bald eagles and get him into Hans Wyman.
See, I want to laugh, but Frank makes me shut up.
Come on, Thursday.
All right. Apparently, this is a fact on the text. Miss Hathaway on the Beverly Hillbillies was a bird watcher.
Jane Hathaway.
Jane Hathaway.
Yeah, that's right.
And there's actually a bunch of websites as to why ducks fly in a V if you really want to know the answer.
I do.
Sure, why not?
30 seconds or less. It, like NASCAR, they draft behind each other. There was actually a scientist that put heart rate monitors on birds, and he found that the ones in the back were using less energy than the ones in the front. And if you watch them go for dozens of miles, you'll see that they change position. Like the bird out front's taking on the most air draft. He'll go to the back of the line, and another one will kick up front, and they actually change positions as they migrate hundreds and thousands of miles.
That's wild that they can think that.
But Dan, it actually is wild because they're birds. But the expression bird brain, maybe they're not so, they're pretty smart, actually. So, all right, we have to do a little bit of, one call, then we'll do some business here. Which one should we do? Biff?
Yeah. All right.
Let's do Biff. Hey, Biff, welcome to 590. What's up?
I'm AM and the PM.
Thank you, Biff.
Hey, I got a bird watching story. I got to admit, Frank, I'm a bird watcher.
Okay. You have every right to be.
You're not going to hate on me, are you?
No, I don't hate you. I don't get it. Just because I doesn't get it, you have every right to love it. I like things other people don't get. So what's the story?
Well, now here's why. Have you ever heard of the green-layered falcon?
The what?
Green-layered?
Green-layered falcon.
No, I never have.
And it's the fastest creature on planet Earth. It's been clocked up to almost 300, right around 300 miles an hour.
That is some fast flying. That's commercial airline almost flying. Are you kidding me, or is that true?
No, so the bird. Okay, it's a falcon, but it's the green layered. And anyway, I live in a downtown. You know, and I live downtown in my building, and there's a nest of them on the roof of our building, and they only eat other birds. And they'll only eat birds that they kill live themselves.
I never.
Oh, so they won't go down and find, like, if one dies and it's laying there, they won't go get it.
Well, if you're that fast, you could fly in the air and see another bird flying and go catch it and eat it in the air if you're that fast.
That's what they do. What they do is they dive off the top of our buildings. They dive and they go into this like nosedive and they tap the other bird. And they literally cut its heads off with the claws, and then they eat the whole bird except the head. They eat the bones and all.
Wow.
Never heard of this.
Are you talking about a peregrine falcon?
Oh, yeah, I'm saying it wrong. I'm sorry. Peregrine falcon.
Yeah, there you go. It's a peregrine falcon.
Yeah, and we have those here?
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, there's a, they nest, they've been on my building for about 10 years, and they nest every year. and they have three or four young ones. Yeah, and get this, at Busch Stadium, I'm a block from Busch Stadium, the male, he stays on the light standard over at Busch Stadium, and the female has the nest and takes care of the babies, and the male, he'll go out and kill other birds, and then they literally, you know, robin feed the babies in the nest with the birds that they kill.
Well, what it says that is nature. And what nature is telling us, you just said the male stands on the light pole or whatever at Busch Stadium. This is the way nature and God intended it to be. The mom is home taking care of the kids and doing whatever and feeding, and the dad is at the ball game.
Yeah, he's watching the game.
He's
and
watching
then getting
the
some
game.
Food.
That is nature trying to tell us how to live.
And he hunts and kills the food and brings it back to the family.
That's right, and he goes back and watches the game. Thank you, Biff.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Look them up. They've actually did skydives out of plane, and they dropped the falcon. Say again the right name to say.
Peregrine.
They've dropped the peregrine falcons out at, you know, like 20,000 feet or whatever, yeah. And they skydive next to them with radar guns to clock them at how fast they could go. And they have some kind of, they go into like a spaceship mode where their body somehow can take the speed. It's crazy.
Man.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Brian. I have two bulletins, both from the rat at Lake of the Ozarks. One, he says, ducks do not fly in a V. Geese do.
Oh.
I wouldn't argue.
Idiot. Wow.
And he says, those falcons, peregrines, is that what they're
called? Yeah.
They're at the lake. He sees them all the time at the lake.
They're beautiful animals.
He has confirmed. Now, see, you just said they're beautiful animals, and it's, and technically a bird is an animal.
Yeah.
But I would never have said that. It's interesting.
A beautiful bird?
But it's interesting you said that's a beautiful animal. It is an animal. Mm-hmm. It's not a plant. It's not a mineral. Of course it's an animal. Okay, there's some business, and I'll catch up with the other business later. The business of banking, I believe it's pretty safe to say every person listening does banking just at some level. Yeah, boy, checks are just about gone, aren't they? Except for the lady I got behind the other day in the store who was writing a check for a pack of gum.
I want to cash back.
A check?
You can write a pack of gum is 80 cents. You write a check for 25.80 and get the 25 back. I've done that.
Okay. That could have been it, but I didn't see her get any money back. Oh. I just thought, move on. Mm-hmm. Carry a dollar with you or something. But, well, you know, at whatever level you bank, I have a suggestion for you. You can bank where I bank and where thousands and thousands and thousands of other people bank. First Community Credit Union. It's the largest credit union in the St. Louis area. I don't even know how long I've been banking there. I'm going to guess 8 years. That's a guess. Probably pretty close. Something like that. 7, 8, 9 years. And wherever you bank, if it's not First Community, I don't know what you do at your bank. I'm going to guess you might have a car loan. You might have a house payment. You probably have a credit card, debit card. You might have a line of credit if you're a business, small business. Maybe this is your business banking partner. I got a better idea. Make your business banking partner First Community Credit Union. Make your personal banking facility First Community Credit Union. They're all over the place, over 40 locations. There will be one near you, but you don't need to go that often. I like to go. Most people hardly ever go in. They might drive through occasionally, but they do it online, and they've got an easy-to-navigate website. And I'll tell you what that website is. It's firstcommunity.com. And the popcorn is always fresh, and the people are always friendly. I was in yesterday. Hello to Morgan. Morgan waited on me. Morgan has the most beautiful skin I've ever seen. It's like flawless. Yeah, well, it's like flawless porcelain skin. And I said to her, and you got to be careful. You can't say anything anymore. If you said, wow, you have beautiful skin, lawsuit, sexual harassment, call the police. And I even said, yeah, I got to call the police on me. Are you? If I say beautiful. She said, no, of course not. Thank you. I appreciate that so much. But she's one of many who are nice and pleasant and professional, and they know what they're doing. They must. Awful lot of people who bank at First Community Credit Union. Why don't you consider joining them? Exclusive sponsors, I might add, of the yard sale on Saturday morning, 7 to 9 o'clock, right here
on 590 The Fan. First Community Credit Union, firstcommunity.com. Please stay where you are because Dr. Doug Pernikoff, we can talk a little bird talk with him. Dr. Doug Pernikoff will be with us this next hour. And if you have a pet and you care about your pet and you want some good free advice, he's here for you. We'll give the numbers right after we come out of the news and a couple of commercials. It's 4 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
This is 590 The Fan, KFNS Wood River, St. Louis, and 590thefan.com, the home of Budweiser.
Good afternoon, everyone. The 590 The Fan, KFNS Studios in Kirkwood. I'm Tim Woodburn. It is 4 o'clock, 73 degrees outside under cloudy skies in downtown St. Louis, just minutes away from hour number two of the large morning show in the afternoon with Frank O'Pinion. News, weather, and sports headlines coming your way, and two traffic updates in this 4 o'clock hour.